Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We're back once again with another Blunt Business here on CannabisReview.com, powered by the Buzz CRM. Do I need to go through this whole script again? Do all of you already know what the Buzz CRM is right now? 500 different tools, marketing tools under your disposal. All these different modules will go ahead and that will operate within our CRM. AI-powered automation, personalized workflows, customized automation. You know all this. You've heard me talk about it over and over. Reaching your customers, the omnichannel reach with SMS, email, social media, advanced analytics, data-driven insights. I've said it all over and over. You just got to go ahead and get to it now. I'm going to save you the trouble. We're not going to go through the whole script. All you got to do is go to one place, thebuzzcrm.com, thebuzzcrm.com, and we will be introducing webinars for your chance to get under the hood. You'll realize, oh, I should have gotten this much sooner, and then you'll buy it. That's what's going to happen. It's real simple. So go ahead and look at that right now, thebuzzcrm.com. You don't even have to wait for the webinars. Just go ahead and buy. Go ahead. It's a low barrier to entry. You'll be happy you did. I give my own personal stamp of approval. If my voice means anything to you, you go ahead and buy. Thebuzzcrm.com. Just go and get there and do that, okay? It's one of those things. What can I say? So my guest right now is one of the co-founders of Autumn Brands. Of course, we've had the folks here from California on the program quite a few times, a cannabis cultivation company on the Santa Barbara coast. And joining me as part of a six generation family, farming family, and evolved in the company's direction to clean cannabis and 100% spray free cultivation, including the use of beneficial insects like ladybugs. And they also are offering public tours of their farm to promote transparency and educate consumers. So normally it would be Autumn Shelton be joining us, but I'm joining with the co-founder and chief sales officer, Hannah Brand, here on Blunt Business. Thanks for being on with me, Hannah. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
It's a pleasure to have you back on. I know we'll have a great conversation. Now, one of the things that I talked with Autumn last July on the program was about the dedication to clean cannabis and the farming heritage, sixth generation Dutch. And now you've opened public tours of your Santa Barbara Coast farm. So tell me about the decision to offer the transparency to the public, key aspects of the 100% spray-free cultivation, which has always been amazing for that, the use of beneficial insects like ladybugs, and showcasing these tours to educate consumers. This must be, I'm very fascinated by the idea of building this cultivation in such a traditional aspect.
Yeah, I mean, for us to open our doors, it really comes from a place of wanting to be there for the community here locally and also expand into the other areas of people coming into Carpinteria and don't necessarily know about all the different farms here. So it gives people an opportunity to really look at the insights of how we grow cannabis. Us being a zero pesticide farm, a zero spray farm, that means we do things a bit differently here. We don't use any sprays, no neem oils, no essential oils or soaps. We do a lot of genetics hunting, pheno hunting. We work with really great partner nurseries. And then we rely on biocontrol, excluding the California native ladybugs that actually fly into our greenhouses on their own in the local environment. And they'll lay their eggs underneath the leaves. They'll hatch and the larva will crawl around these plants and eat up to 80 acres a day, which has a lot of benefits. One, because they're free to us. Two, now you don't have a dead aphid on your plant that you sprayed with some chemical. It's been eaten and actually completely discarded. And then the ladybugs will pulpate up, come out, fly away, and lay their next generation where they think, where they smell aphids for the next cycle.
Now, we also talked last time about the importance of being frugal and strategic with investments. So there was the issues last time around was the water scarcity issues in Santa Barbara County. And that was a report about High Country News and the environmental reality, specifically how it affected long-term investment strategies, including regarding water-efficient cultivation practices and ensuring sustainability of operations in the face of potential resource limitations. Well, has anything changed with that too much? I mean, we knew even know about the water scarcity when it came to the fires that happened in California just this past fall. And I know that the new administration, presidential administration, made some changes and worked with the governor's office to work on trying to get more water into these areas. Is that something that was directly affected in the area in Santa Barbara County that you're seeing a change to that's helping to benefit the cultivation?
Yeah. So for us, my grandparents and parents have been on farming this land for almost 40 years now. And so in 2007, my dad actually received the Green Award from the county for building a bioswale, which helps collect all of the rainwater from our entire property, and it will percolate it back down into our well. So we pull directly up from our well and mix all of our nutrients in-house ourselves. So we're in a very fortunate place where we're able to have really good well water levels from capturing all the rainwater. Last year especially, we had, I think, 25 inches of rain by this time last year, and this year we're at 5. So having that resource of percolating the water back into the ground instead of it running in the creeks and into the ocean is a definite benefit for our farm. I think everyone's kind of looking at their wells and making sure that they're operating at a level that's sustainable and not overdrawing. I think overdrawing wells becomes more of an issue in the Central Valley, but almost all, if not all, greenhouse farmers nowadays, we are reclaiming all of our water. So we actually have a system that any drainage through the pot, which will grow in a pot, not directly in the ground, will capture the water. We'll circulate it through a filter and then reuse it with the fresh well water. You don't really have that benefit when you're growing in the ground, but any runoff in the ground can go back into your wells instead.
Now, in that similar area, there's also the Sierra Nevada snowpack, the mountains there that also from the snowfall that comes through, that they said there's been a better than average amount of snowfall, which was able to go and melt and to be some precipitation that would be collected, but not as much as it's been like it was in 2023. And that's also important to talk about when it comes to the snow levels and how much that comes back as water. Is that also something in consideration that, you know, along with the well water and what you're being able to conserve, is that something that's also, you know, a factor that your team deals with also on the farm?
We don't have to deal with it so much on the farm, but it is something that definitely impacts our community. We have multiple reservoirs around the Santa Barbara area, and we do get a decent amount of rain in some of those. Again, last year, the one in Ventura actually had a big flood on it because they couldn't close the dam in time. So a lot of it went to the ocean. So I think it's just about mitigation of how much we're capturing, how much we're saving and using, and how much we're letting run into the ocean. Because, yeah, we've come from years of really heavy droughts. Like, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago, we're in a decent multi-year drought where we had great weather for growing, but not great weather for rain collection and water collection. So it's a balancing act of that. It doesn't affect us so much because we don't have to rely on city water, which is where most of that stuff is being accumulated and dispersed through.
Well, and that's the thing too. So the water reservoirs right now in Santa Barbara, in the latest reporting I've seen, have said that they are prepared, that they're actually, they have quite a bit of reserve right now, where enough has been gone into the Gibraltar Reservoir, and that they're going to be able to, and that's going to be something I guess is going to be considered, because when wildfire season comes up again, I'm sure they're going to be, there's going to be a lot of consideration and more of a spotlight in areas like Santa Barbara County that are going to be dealing with this. So is that something that's got to be considered as well, where they might tap in, if the government or whoever agencies might come in and ask to tap into the reservoirs that you have?
Yeah, so there's not really a way for the local government to get into our well because it's just right under our land. So there's not like direct access as if we were to have, an open lake situation. I have a friend with the biodynamic vineyard up in San Ynez, and I'm pretty sure that they have a communication with the fire department up there that if it's needed, they can tap, they can pull from this lake that they use as a reservoir in their biodynamic vineyard. So I think some of those things are larger scale than what we're doing here. But I think that communication with farmers and community and, you know, the fire department is very valid and important. When we did have some fires here, you know, we had different sprinkler systems and things going on. Luckily, when it came through in 2017, 2018, it burned the hill behind us. And we had calm winds for a few days, which really helped out the Carpinteria area. Unfortunately, those winds picked back up, and that's when we had the Montecito. It burned pretty gnarly in 2018, and then we had the couple days of really hard downpour mudslides.
Now, was there a thing where any of your coworkers or any of your team, were any of you affected at all by those Montecito fires? Anybody at all that had to go and deal with that from a personal level, and how's the recovery going so far?
Yeah, so now, what are we at now? It's almost 7 years. So we still have family and friends that have, you know, either rebuilt or sold their houses during that time. And there's still a lot of rebuilding going on, but it's mainly homes. A lot of the infrastructure of roads and everything have been fixed. My parents were home. I was at college at that time. And so I didn't come back, but my dad left my brother's graduation to come back to the farm because the fire had shifted and it was coming towards us. My parents were trapped here. They couldn't go north. They couldn't go south into town, into Carpinteria, because all the bridges, the creeks had broken and flooded. And so for a couple days, they were just here at the farm. We had to shut down all operations for, 10 to 14 days-ish before crews could open up the roads and things. And then, yeah, that was a very scary time.
Right. Was there anything last year that you could tell us about? Because I know there's been a lot that's been reported about how many homes were destroyed and were lost as a result of the fire, and, you know, how many hours it took to go ahead and control the fires and bring them down. But they're looking across the board that over 2,000 structures burned, almost 400 damaged, and 1,980 destroyed. So the thing was, I guess, in that Southern California area, there wasn't anything where in this last run of the fires we saw in the headlines all across the board, no one was affected by that.
No, that was farther south. We did see some of the smoke over the ocean, but no, the fire I was talking about was the one in 2017, 2018.
It's amazing just to go through all that. And the thing is, just the importance of the water and the collection of that. It's always been something that's really fascinating with me when it comes to California cultivation. I'm here with Hannah Brand, co-founder and CSO of Autumn Brands here on Blunt Business. We're going to be back and talking about the pesticides and the compliance issues we always talk about here when it comes to great cultivators like Autumn Brands. The website for them is autumnbrands.com, AUTUMN. You know how to spell it the other way for fall. Autumnbrands.com. Take a look at the website as we go to commercial break. Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with Hannah Brand, co-founder and CSO of Autumn Brands. And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Like I said, last July we spoke with Autumn Shelton, who's also co-founder and with you and there at Autumn Brands. And we talked extensively on the health risks associated with pesticides and cannabis. So this article took from Coastal View that talks about the commitment to educating the public and specific health and environmental benefits that you emphasize when you're explaining to attendees on the tour and say, okay, and consumers, you know, visiting about the more challenging path of 100% spray-free cultivation, especially when other cannabis products have been found that contain high levels of pesticides. There's a lot of talk that we had with Autumn about that. And some of the things that the California legislature and the Bureau of Cannabis Control could be doing to control the pesticides that are being put out there, what's being used and how much is being used right now at such a high level.
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to pesticides on cannabis, there's just a lot of unknowns. You know, there's pesticides that we know and have been tested safe for us to use on our vegetables. You go to the farmer's market, you buy your veggies, you go home, wash them, eat them. And that has years and lots of studies behind being safe to consume. We don't know what happens when you buy your weed, you go home and you inhale it, you light it up and inhale it. And so when we couldn't get that information from our advisors, we decided to completely switch away from any sprays. So things that are very gentle and other agricultural products like neem oil or essential oils or soaps are still being used heavily in cannabis, especially at levels that are underneath the testing limits that the state requires. But we still feel that there is a health risk here. There's a consumer risk here. And we wanted to completely move away from that model. Luckily, we did it, you know, 7 or 8 years now. So when the industry was a little bit easier and felt a little bit more okay to have some waste and throw some product away or send it to oil, because, you know, in that transition time, you have to be okay that there's going to be some destruction. Now we have such a balanced ecosystem that there really isn't too much that comes out of the greenhouse that is, you know, hurt or destroyed by pests or mildews, but we still take the same approach of sending it to oil or into green waste when it doesn't meet our standards. But I think it really comes down, like, from a government level or regulation level, if there can be some differing facts from farmers that are using, you know, these mild pesticides versus those who are not using any at all. Some sort of stamp of approval saying, hey, this is kind of the gold standard of it's more than organic because it's zero sprays. It's not even organic sprays. It's standalone because they're using the natural plant, biocontrol, the environment that they have in genetics hunting. So there's no altercations or other substances being put onto the flower or the leaves or absorbed into the plant. But I think we still have a long way to go on the educational side of things, on, you know, getting more farmers to look at their current grow and seeing, okay, maybe I can take back some of these things I'm using, or I don't need to spray at the first sight of a pest. So let the natural ecosystem work a little bit, because these beneficials are hungry and they want to eat your pests. And they want to fly somewhere else afterwards and eat more. It's also a great way because now you're not ending up with, you know, dead pests on your plants, but you're getting beneficials that are then flying somewhere else for the next generation, and you're having clean product at the end.
So let's go and talk about the fact of what has changed and what the Bureau of Cannabis Control has actually been doing. So they've been obviously making some progress, it looks like, what they've been doing so far, and a lot of reports have been talking about that. First of all, I was going to talk about the fact that the chief cannabis regulator back in February talked about that there was the issues of widespread accounts of pesticides. We talked about that back in July. And the DCC issued 481 embargoes last year, which caused hundreds of thousands of marijuana products and raw materials removed from the supply chain until internal investigations deemed them safe or mandated their destruction. So that's the first part that came in. And they also issued 63 recall notices, 259 products affected, and nearly 25,000 individual units. So, you know, I don't know how you and Autumn feel about this so far and what the DCC has been doing so far to at least make some real headways into some of those non-compliant products and some of those legal products being made themselves.
Yeah, no, I think the DCC going in and testing products that are on shelf is the responsible thing to do to ensure that the industry they've created for legalization is safe for the consumers. You know, the last thing we want is someone, you know, skewing a COA test. You're buying a product, you think it's good, you think it passed all the tiers of compliance, and then, you know, you get sick from it.
Yep.
So for them to go in and say, hey, we're doubling down on, we say this, these are the regulations and people need to follow them, and trying to find the bad actors that are, you know, cheating the system or not being transparent with their consumers, is huge. And it also, I think, helps create a more honest relationship when consumers are educating themselves on what brands they should be a part of, you know, doing quick little research on, seeing what's been published about people out there. One of the biggest things I say is buy a brand that owns the farm, because you're always going to get the best product. You know, farmers care.
No, and also just a testament of what you do, and we'll get back to the fact of just the level of cultivation prowess, and how much the attention to detail you have to have without having to go through these pesticides, and not have to be subjected to seeing any products that are going to go through any kind of health warnings or any kind of issues that could come from it. Now, the DCC also looks to go ahead and continue more routine visits to businesses. They're going to look at abnormalities in Intometric, the product tracking system that we all know, and more internal investigations carried out by the agency's environmental compliance and manufacturing safety branch. So that's, you know, again, progress. When there's progress being made by California, we're going to call it out. We're going to make the point of that. The other thing that we should make mention of as well is that California made the point, and the governor's office talked about this last month, that they seized $534 million in illegal cannabis in 2024. So that's, you know, since 2019, they've seized approximately $2.8 billion in illegal cannabis. So that's great. And they've gone through the areas. So, I mean, that's one we're going to see that part. They served 425 search warrants across the state, and they again, $268 million worth of unlicensed cannabis seized, 162,000 pounds plus confiscated, over 288,000 unlicensed plants. They also found firearms that were seized, and there were 20 arrests made. And in the outdoor cultivation, 143 warrants served, 122 pounds confiscated, 190,000 pounds eradicated, and 30 firearms. Again, I can't believe there's firearms and all these arrests going on among outdoor cultivators, but indoor, outdoor, all this. But there's, it's amazing the numbers here and what they were able to go and find out. But that is progress with California. Do you feel like that maybe, you know, operators like you and Autumn, they're finally being heard right now, and the California is actually trying to make some real, they're actually starting to enforce?
Yeah, I think they are trying to enforce more. You know, it's difficult. I can see it from their side, but at the same time, they created an industry for us to do this legally and them to collect access on. So part of that is enforcement on when people aren't choosing to be in the legal market. I think that's really important because it does hurt. I was in a location up in Sacramento visiting one of our partner dispensaries, and he's just having the biggest frustrating time because there's a pop-up market, you know, across the street from his dispensary almost every week where people are going and shopping products that look compliant but aren't and not sold through a dispensary. And so it's like finding those things and cracking down on them, and then also holding the people accountable that are putting on these, you know, illicit businesses, because it's hurting everyone. I think it's hurting dispensaries a lot as well. Because there's just not, we need people to be going through the legal channels, and the more people that are skewed out of that cycle and into, whether they know it or not, the illicit products, it hurts everyone in this industry.
And one of the issues they talk about when it comes to the taxation right now is where there's still an assembly bill that's still being put right now that could see the state's cannabis excise tax increased from 15% up to 19% coming up July 1st. Another big tax hike that comes in here that just does not help right now, especially when the industry is not been at its best right now. It has been struggling right now in California. But like I said, I'm glad that, you know, cultivators like yours are still thriving pretty well and doing the best under these circumstances. But tell me about what happens here if this excise tax does make it through.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt every tier of the industry. You know, retailers are going to be hurt because their customers coming in already only have such a limit on what they can and will spend on a weekly or monthly basis for their cannabis goods. And whether they're using it recreationally or medicinally, you know, it's gonna hurt a lot towards the wallet. We're gonna have retailers coming to us saying, you know, we need price cuts because our consumers want to buy your product at the same price, but we need to cover the new hike in taxes, which in turn, us being, you know, more quality driven, slow processed, hand touched products, you know, our costs are already larger than a lot of other people around us. And so it's just this trickling effect of how much margins can everyone lose, and so that people, that the government can get more taxes. But there's really not any margins left in a lot of us brands and a lot of our partner dispensaries, you know? So then how can it all just be put onto the consumer? At the same time, our cost of goods might be going up with what's currently in place with some of these tariffs. So it's like a double whammy on everything getting more expensive and people coming in asking for it to be cheaper.
Let's go and go to commercial break. When we come back, I want to go ask you more about the public tours that are starting up right now. And you just had one of the very first tours happen just last month, a couple of weeks ago. Want to just get your take on it and what people are going to get a chance to go and find out once they get to go and go into the greenhouses and learn about the cultivation methods and the amazing science and all the traditional aspects of the cultivation process of Autumn Brands. We'll ask that more with Hannah Brand, co-founder and CSO of Autumn Brands. Once again, the website is autumnbrands.com, autumnbrands.com. Take a look at their award-winning cannabis and all the products they have therein. While we go to commercial break, we'll be back with final questions after this. We're rounding the home stretch. I'm here with Hannah Brand, co-founder and CSO of Autumn Brands here on Blunt Business. And Autumn, again, as always, really glad to have you on. And you know, wish the rest of your team and the group, Autumn and the team over at Autumn Brands. Now, you started opening public tours. The first one happened March 21st, and it was for anybody that was 21 and up. They was able to go and visit, and when they get to go, community members can go tour the greenhouses, learn about cultivation methods, the science behind hand trimming, hang drying and curing, and the fact that Autumn Brands always not only emphasizes sustainability but also supports educational transparency, highlighting practices like natural pest control with California ladybugs, and showing the commitment to eco-friendly farming contributing to a healthier planet. So talk to me about the tours, how'd that first one go, and the fact that it's the third Friday of every month. Tell me about how that went out the first time around and how everything turned out.
Yeah, the first tour was a lot of fun. We actually had one person that it was their second time coming to our farm. They'd come with a different public tour we did through our local community outreach before we had these every third Friday one set up. So it was nice to just really hear the conversations going on between everyone, what they're interested in learning about, things they didn't understand with the water reclaiming system. You know, you walk into the greenhouses and it's a sea of green. It just feels so nice. And you can see the spark in everyone's faces of, you know, seeing the plants growing. You get to see the different stages. So from cloning to harvesting, and then as well as processing that hang drying. I think a lot of people don't realize, one, how many steps there are just in the process of farming. And at the same time, also what all the California regulations are in those steps. So we get to point out those blue metric tags from the metric track and trace system and talk kind of about what, how the systems work with how the state has been signed into everything that we do. We get to talk about the different genetics that you can see how they grow differently. You know, we have some that are very skinny, narrow leaves, and then the fatter ones, we have strains that turn purple, we have strains that don't. And then getting to actually smell the terpenes when they're growing live. And then comparing that to the cure and flower towards later on in the tour and showing them the same strain, how it smells differently and the terpenes evolve differently from when it's fresh to when it's finished. And yeah, I think the age group was definitely a bit on the older side, which was great to see because they're really there to get education. You know, everyone has different stories of when they started using cannabis, or if they're newer to it, what kind of products they like. If they smoke, they only use drops and edibles. So it's just a great way to connect with the community and also show them, like, we're not some big scary farm. We're a family doing this. I'm a sixth generation farmer. Both my parents are immigrants from Holland. And it's just great to have a passion for agriculture. I always have. And now my generation with my brother here is cannabis.
And we've talked about Autumn Brands over the years, and always been fascinated about the what you learned from your ancestors from Holland, and just the style of cultivation and how it still is so effective today. Where everybody else could try to say, "Oh, here's new technology, here's this and that." No, there's so many things that are just a very natural and a very traditional cultivation process that still works and brings out great products. So, for those who want to go to the tours, if you are in the Santa Barbara County area and you want to go take a visit, you can actually go to their website, autumnbrands.com, and go under Our Story in the pull-down menu. Look for farm tours. You can actually fill out there, and you'll see there's available dates. Third Friday every month, you can go ahead and get yourself on a tour. So make sure to go and do that. Let's talk about the products there, Hannah. So various products you have, flower pre-rolls, the now Melt Intimate Wellness, Saz Elixirs, so much more. Tell me what some of the products that you want to showcase real quick that people want to take a listen and learn about now that are new to the product line, and what can you tell us about it?
Yeah, last year we launched our diamond-infused mini pre-rolls. So we infused the fully ground flower with THCA diamonds. And instead of kind of putting them in our six-pack or 1 gram like we did with the hash in the previous years, we went for our mini style. This way, you know, there's less putting it out and relighting it later. You can kind of always start with a fresh pre-roll and get that fresh flavor and not have the after smoke from putting it out before. That one's been doing really well for us from a side of people that have a little bit of a higher tolerance or looking for a little bit more THC boost, but still want the full flower, full experience of the Autumn Brand strains and pre-roll blends. The Now Melt line has been in the market for just over a year. That's been proven to be a really great conversation starter with people that are just trying to learn more on how cannabis is, can be explored farther than just inhalable. So we have bath crystals that you can soak in with magnesium, high THC, CBG. We have the Nano Lube, the Nano Gummy, that has ashwagandha, horny goat weed in there, as well as a lithable edible body butter. So I think those are kind of been more of our passions, along with the nourishing muscle and joint salve, to bring out the wellness and education side beyond just the smokables. But our bread and butter and what we have the most passion around is always still the flower, what we're putting into our jars. We have a lot of new strains coming out every year that we're testing with our partner nurseries. Some of the newer ones are our Space Station for a hybrid. We have a Double Dream for our sativa, and then one of our classics that's still very strong and have a lot of consumer reliability and passion for is our Purple Carbonite Indica. You can find that throughout the whole state in California, but it's definitely a take-home winner for us and our team.
As always, I love to go and have the team at Autumn Brands here on the program. And really, Hannah, thanks again for being on with us and sharing all the stories here from California. And again, I hope it's a wonderful spring. Have a great 420 as we're getting closer to that as we're recording on this. And thank you, as always, for being on with us. Really appreciate you taking time out.
Thank you for having me. Look forward to the next time.
Absolutely. Again, once again, Hannah Brand, co-founder and CSO of Autumn Brands. Website is autumnbrands.com. Make sure you go to look at the website and go find the products and, you know, take yourself a tour down there if you're in Southern California. Go check it out. And listeners, thanks for listening to The Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.